Hello, this is Lois Pausch reading the Vermilion County News for May the 12th, 2017. And we begin with an article with the headline, Commission OKs Gulick Rezoning Additional Liquor Permits. Dateline Danville. After failing to have a quorum 2 months in a row to act on a rezoning petition, members of the Danville Area Planning and Zoning Commission recommended approving the rezoning request Thursday night for the former Gulick's Ileana Medical Equipment and Supply property. Commission members also approved having packaged liquor sales require a special use permit in the B3 General Business Zoning District. 6 of 9 commissioners were present at the meeting. The Danville City Council will act Tuesday on the zoning petitions. A supermajority vote of the City Council, 10 of the 14 aldermen, is needed to approve the Gulick petition due to a conflict with the city's future land use map. The commission recommended approving the rezoning request by the estate of John T. Gulick for property at 914 North Vermilion Street to be rezoned from P1 Professional to B3 General Business Zoning to allow for the parking lot at the location owned by the estate to be zoned the same as the building. Steve Gulick said there is no use tied to the rezoning. He just wants the rezoning to match to sell the property. Zoning Commission Chairwoman Tracy Taylor said the non-matching zoning was overlooked when the city map was drawn. Danville Planning and Urban Services Manager Chris Milliken said the Gulick petition was a new petition from the one previously withdrawn. Neighbor phone calls to the city had indicated no concerns about the rezoning, but concerns about what would locate on the site. Milliken said the rezoning petition is speculative in nature, with no use currently tied to it. City concerns remain access and traffic near the busy intersection of Fairchild and Vermilion Streets, he said. Danville Engineering and Urban Services Director David Schnelly said with the site along a state route, Illinois Department of Transportation approval also would be needed, such as through a possible traffic impact study. As the commission also recommended approval of the city's request to amend the Danville zoning ordinance to have packaged liquor sales in a special use in the B3 General Business Zoning District instead of a permitted use in the district, this could affect what locates on the Gulick property through the permitting process. This came about a long time ago, Milliken said, about the special use permit request. He said the liquor stores already needed a special use permit in the B2 business zoning districts, such as Vermilion Liquors North. City officials also received alderman feedback to have oversight of liquor store locations in the future, Milliken said. There also have been concerns expressed with the police perspective with liquor stores, and the change would be something appropriate community-wide, he added. He said there are 10 active packaged liquor store locations in the city in the B2 and B3 districts. 5 liquor stores currently in the B3 zoning district would be grandfathered in. The change would affect only future liquor stores. Having the liquor stores go through a special use permit process also allows for additional public input, Milliken said. He said liquor stores could now go into vacant gas station locations today. The special use permit change would go into effect upon City Council approval. Taylor said she would hesitate to have another hurdle and make development more difficult for businesses, but with the number of liquor stores in the city, she said it comes to a point where the city should review those placements in the community. I think overall it is something we should entertain, she said. In other business, the commission recommended approving a request by James and Linda Baldwin to rezone 242 South Griffin Street from R2 residential zoning to AG agriculture zoning to allow for the construction of a U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development manufactured home at that location. And the next article has the headline, Tech Savvy Teens Help Seniors with Devices. Dateline Danville. The generation that thought television was a novelty 60 plus years ago got a crash course in the latest technology this week. There's a whole world out there, Carol Austin, 80 years old, said after getting a lesson on her tablet, how great it would be to grow up using this. Austin, and a few other residents of Liberty Village got help with their mobile phones and tablets Wednesday afternoon when 22 eighth graders visited from Schlarman Academy North Campus. Kathy Gallagher, who teaches computers to students in kindergarten through eighth grade, said, "The main purpose is to bring two generations together so they can learn from each other. This is the first year that she's tried the teen-to-senior approach. She came across the idea on the internet." The students also visited Liberty a few weeks ago, and a handful of seniors got help then. The young people helped the residents do things such as using social media and FaceTime, and even how to delete old voicemail messages. "I really enjoy it," student Suzette Semmershine said. "We get to understand how this generation works and how everything has evolved so fast." Pointing to a flip phone and then a smartphone, she said, "From this to this." Semmershine and student Seth Bennett were helping Liberty residents Larry and Chick Kittle with their phones. Chick, 90, said she and Larry, 88, didn't have TV when they were first married, and now she wonders, "What did I do before TV?" Suzette said to her, "When you were a kid, you couldn't imagine what we'd have now." Seth pointed out that mobile phones have gone from the size of a brick to a slim device that fits into your pocket in just 2 to 3 decades, and from 1 to 2 pounds to less than 1/2 pound. "No one thought it would be successful," he said of the latest generation of mobile phones and the internet, and in the future, he expects to see floating cars. Suzette and Seth were helping the couple with using their phones, but they were learning at the same time. Seth was a bit baffled by some features of the flip phone, but he quickly figured it out. "I want to see that Twitter stuff," Chick told Seth as their session started to wind down. Seth went online and showed what the fuss is all about, as politicians' tweets have been in the news a lot lately. Other seniors and students were pleased with the hour-long session. Karen Rayfield, who works the front desk at Liberty, asked questions of students Kennedy Kotcher and Kathy Harvey. Her children use her iPad, and she wanted to know how to get settings back to where they were. "This was very helpful," she said afterward. "These kids know so much." "A lot of the tenants at Liberty have iPads and smartphones," she said. Kathy knows a lot about tablets and Kindle, while Kennedy knows about Facebook and phones, so together they made a good pair. Both girls said it was a lot of fun helping seniors. Students Kylie Scherer and Conley Bateman also said they enjoyed showing Carol Austin how to take photos with her tablet and putting them in online albums. This was Austin's second time meeting with the students, so it was easier this time. She even brought a small notebook so she could write down notes. "They're so quick," she said of the teens. She learned a lot during both sessions, she said, and enjoys her tablet now that she's more used to it. While the residents got a lot out of the internet, actions with the young people, Chick Kittle joked, "I need them to come back in a week or so." She added, "We do appreciate this." Gallagher's computer classes cover topics ranging from Web 2.0 tools, copyright, plagiarism, and credible resources to web design and 3D printing. And the next article has the headline, "Bailey Academy Honors 3 Local Veterans." Dateline Danville. Kenneth D. Bailey Academy students and staff honored 3 local veterans during a Thursday morning ceremony in which their names were placed on the school's Wall of Honor. This year's recipients of the Wall of Honor recognition were Harold Bott, nominated by Aaron Bott, the late Morris Hunter, nominated by Maria Hunter and Johnny Carey, and Fred Luzinski, nominated by Jenna Butler and Debbie Strader. Bott and the families of Hunter and Luzinski each received a keepsake plaque during the all-school assembly and dedication ceremony. The veterans' names also were to be mentioned during the Salute to Veterans concert Thursday night at Danville High School. The patriotic program started with Major Kenneth D. Bailey Detachment 824 of the Marine Corps League presenting the flags, followed by the Pledge of Allegiance recited by Bailey Academy student Nathan Sellers, the Star-Spangled Banner sung by Ashley Bourne Hightower, and an essay titled "What is Liberty?" read by its author, Devon Bryson, a Bailey Academy student. The honorees were chosen by a committee made made up of District 118 administrators, teachers, and community members, based on criteria such as demonstrating strong community values and having exemplary military service. Bott served for 6 years in the Army, attaining the rank of Staff Sergeant. He served during the Korean War and spent 7 months deployed in Korea. He completed his service with 4.5 years in the Illinois National Guard. After Bott's service to the country, he served for 8 years as a township Danville Township trustee, and has been a 75-year member of Central Park Church of Christ in Tilton. Bott also is a 30-year member of the Gideon Bible Society. He has been active as a 20-year founding member of the Danville chapter of the Korean War Veterans Association and a 63-year member of the Westville American Legion Post 51. Bott also has been an active member of VFW Post 728, serving as post chaplain for 13 years and 10 years as commander of the Honor Guard. He served as head custodian of Danville High School and then custodial supervisor, finishing his career as director of buildings and grounds, from which he retired in 1995. After receiving his keepsake plaque, Bott said he was humbled by the recognition and honored to be sharing it with two people he knew. Bott worked with Luzensky at Danville High School when he was head custodian, and Luzensky coached wrestling, swimming, and football. Bott and Hunter graduated from DHS together in the class of 1947. Addressing the Bailey Academy students gathered at the event, Bott lightheartedly asked, "Can anyone tell me how many days of school are left?" He continued by telling the students, "There's nothing wrong with being a nice guy. It's nice to be nice. The most important thing in life is to be respected. Respectful," Bott added. "Be respectful of your teachers, be respectful of your parents, and be respectful of your country." Hunter was the first person to be drafted in Vermilion County in 1950 to serve in the Korean War. He served for 2 years and was honorably discharged in 1952 as a corporal in the Army, 3rd Battalion's 24th Infantry Regiment, also known as the famous Buffalo Soldiers. He earned the Korean Service Medal, the Bronze Star, a Combat Infantry Badge, and the United States Service Medal. His regiment was the first American unit to capture a Korean town. Danville returned to Danville and married Lillian Dolores Hooser in 1952. He joined the Danville Fire Department in 1956 as one of the first black firefighters in the city. In 1975, he and his wife became the owners of Simon's Shoe Service. He retired from the fire department in 1981, continued to operate his business, and served 3 years as a member of the Illinois Fire and Police Commissioners Association. He was an active member of Second Baptist Church and served as a trustee for more than 25 years. He was a member of several clubs and organizations. Upon accepting the keepsake plaque on behalf of her late husband, Lillian Hunter told the crowd he would be so happy. Looking around the Bailey Academy gym after the ceremony had ended, Hunter said, "This is lovely." He would have been ecstatic about the honor. He would have loved it. Luzensky is a retired Marine Corps veteran. He served in the Marine Corps Reserves for 41 years. Luzensky served at Camp Pendleton in Oceanside, California, as well as 29 Palms, where he trained for air and ground combat before moving to training officer. Luzensky also served at the Marine Corps Air Facility at Quantico, Virginia, and at the Marine Corps Outlying Field Camp Base at Camp Lejeune, North Carolina. He attended college while serving in the military, graduating from William Jewell College in Liberty, Missouri, and earning his master's degree from Indiana State University. Coach Luzensky, as most people know him, began his teaching and coaching career at Oakwood High School, and then moved to Danville High School, where he coached wrestling, swimming, and football. He also taught history, ran the WECEP program, and started the Fellowship of Christian Athletes. Luzensky's daughter, Debbie Strader, accepted her father's keepsake plaque on his behalf because he couldn't be at the event. Luzensky's 7-year-old great-grandson, Braxton Butler, accompanied Strader. "We videotaped it for him," Strader said of the ceremony, and Braxton will let him know how they honored him. And now for the obituaries. And the first is for Paul Raymond Bell, 92, of Georgetown, who died at 12:30 p.m. Wednesday, May 10th at Presence USMC Danville. A celebration of Paul's life will be held at 2 p.m. Saturday, May 13th at Georgetown United Methodist Church, 400 North Main Street, Georgetown, with Pastor Matt Filipski officiating. Visitation will be held 1 hour prior to the service at the church. He will be laid to rest in Crown Hill Cemetery with military honors conducted by American Legion Dornblazer Post 203. In lieu of flowers, memorial donations may be given to Georgetown United Methodist Church. Sunset's Houghton Leisure Funeral Home, Georgetown, assisted the family with arrangements. And the next is for Tommy Lou Corey, 62, of rural Vetersburg, who died on Wednesday, May 10th at St. Vincent Hospital in Indianapolis, Indiana. Funeral service will be at 5:30 p.m. May 13th, that's tomorrow, at Hillsboro Church of the Nazarene. Oh boy, lots of funerals tomorrow, May 13th, at Hillsboro Church of the Nazarene with Pastor Mark Ward Bope officiating. Visitation will be 12 to 5 at the church. Burial will follow the service at Rockfield Cemetery near Vetersburg. In lieu of flowers, memorial contributions may be given to the Vetersburg Fire Department. Arrangements entrusted to Dixon Funeral Home. And the next is for Beverly Jean Holmes, 86, of Danville, who died on May 9th at Methodist Hospital in Indianapolis, Indiana. A celebration of Beverly's life will take place at 2 p.m. today, May 12th, at Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center, Covington Chapel, 420 3rd Street, Covington, Indiana. Visitation took place at the funeral home from 12 to 2 p.m. Burial will follow at Mount Hope Cemetery in Covington. And the next is for Mary Lou Burgoyne, 81, a lifetime resident of Georgetown, passed away on Friday, May the 5th at Hawthorne Inn in Danville. A celebration of Mary Lou's life will be at 10:30 a.m. Tuesday, May 16th at Sunset's Houghton Leisure Funeral Home, 200 East West Street, Georgetown, with Pastor James Blue officiating. Visitation for family and friends will be from 4 to 8 p.m. Monday, May 15th at the funeral home. She will be laid to rest in Georgetown Cemetery. And the next is for Leo Huffman, 91, of Hoopston, who died on Friday, April 28th. Memorial services will be at noon this Saturday at First Presbyterian Church, 915 East Orange Street, Hoopston, with the Reverend Wade Miranda officiating. Cremation rites were accorded. Anderson Funeral Home, 427 East Main Street, Hoopston, is in charge of arrangements. And another from Hoopston, Diane Lane, 53, of Hoopston, died on Thursday, May 11th at home. Funeral arrangements were incomplete at Anderson Funeral Home, 427 East Main Street, Hoopston. And the next is from Ridge Farm, Dale W. Larance, L-A-R-A-N-C-E, 93, of Ridge Farm, who died on Monday, May 1st at Hawthorne Inn, Danville. Funeral services will be at 10 a.m. Monday, May 15th at Sunset's Houghton Leisure Funeral Home, 200 East West Street, Georgetown, with Pastor Justin Weber officiating. Burial will be in Georgetown Cemetery. Visitation will be from 3 to 6 p.m. Sunday at the funeral home. And the next is from Danville, Joyce Resch, R-O-E-S-C-H, 93, of Danville, died at 5:05 Wednesday, May 10th at Carl Foundation Hospital, Urbana. Funeral arrangements were incomplete at Pape Family Funeral Home, 10 East William Street, Danville. And the next is for Betty J. Saliday, 85, of Fairmount, who died on Monday in the emergency room at Presence USMC Danville. Funeral services will be at 2 p.m. Tuesday, May 16th at New Hope Community Church, 306 South Main Street, Fairmount, with the Reverend Ron Weishar officiating. Burial will be in Davis Cemetery, west of Fairmount. Visitation will be from 9 to 2 p.m. Tuesday at the church. And the next is a news article with a headline, Two Families Hit by Fire in Need of Assistance. Dateline Danville. Two area families that suffered house fires this week seek assistance from the public for replacing clothing lost in the blazes. The family of Rosetta Strausser, a mother of five boys, lost everything in the fire that started Monday on their porch. Their house was uninsured, and they need clothing and shoes. For the boys, they need clothing sizes 5 to 12, shoes from toddler size 11 to size 4, 5 boys. For adult clothing, they need women's pants 20 to 22, and 14 to 16, for shirts large to 2X and extra large to 2X. For men, any size from extra large to 2X and pants size 34 to 38. Donations for the Strausser family can be dropped off at room 10 of the Budget Motel, 2516 Georgetown Road. They can be reached at 504-4282. The family of Martha Juarez also needs donations, which can be dropped off at Connection Church, 2915 Townway Road. They need medium shirts and pant sizes 7 and 8. For adult clothing, they need medium shirts, 32-32 pants, size 10, and 1X to 2X shirts, size 16 to 18. They are also needing Northeast Elementary Magnet School uniforms and school supplies. Monetary donations also can be addressed to First Midwest Bank, account name Martha P. Juarez, and account number 7103750365. And the next is an article with the headline, Hegler Named to Senior Hall of Fame. Dateline Springfield. Danville's Julius Hegler is among Illinois residents being inducted into the state's Senior Hall of Fame. The Illinois Department of Aging announced the 2016 inductees Wednesday. The Senior Hall of Fame honors residents 65 and older for personal achievements. It was created by the legislature in 1994. The other two 2016 inductees are Barbara Schaefer of Burr Ridge and Joseph Hernandez of Aurora. Schaefer creates dance routines for people of any physical ability, including people who use wheelchairs. The 65-year-old also leads a senior dance troupe. The 80-year-old Hernandez taught art for 24 years at Waubonsie Community College. Hegler III, 87, is the 2016 inductee for the community service category. As a lifelong resident of Danville, he has shown tremendous support for community-based programs in his town through his financial contributions to groups focusing on education, environmental training, health care, historic preservation, the arts, and aiding individuals with disabilities, according to a release. Hegler's generous donations and dedication to the Danville community have made a significant impact in the lives of many people, prompting the Illinois General Assembly to pass House Resolution 892 in March of 2014 in recognition of Hegler's contributions to the community. And the next article has the headline, Police Raise Money to Replace Stolen Groceries. Dateline, Elkhart, Indiana. Elkhart police used their resources to give back to an elderly crime victim Tuesday. Several Elkhart police officers showed up at the apartment of Barbara Whitener, 72, in the 500 block of South Main Street to give her some gifts after her story had touched some of the officers who responded to a call with her last week. I was gone. I went to visit on State Street, and when I came back, I noticed my food was gone, said Whitener. Whitener said criminals had entered her apartment on May 4th and stolen all of her food and soda. Living on a fixed income, the theft was a huge blow to Whitener. Corporal Jim Ballard responded to the call and was touched by Whitener's plight, so he decided to go beyond the line of duty to help her, Elkhart Police Department spokesman Sergeant Chris Schneider said. He just put the word out and a couple of people that he knew put a challenge on it, Snyder said of Ballard's effort. It became a kind of game of who was going to match who. On Tuesday, Ballard and other officers from the department presented Widener with gift cards she can use to buy groceries and a brand new deadbolt lock for her apartment. This was an opportunity for us to give back, he said. I'm in shock right now, but I appreciate everything, said Whitener through tears as she hugged officers. Everything is going to be okay now. I'll be able to have something to eat. Snyder said that while police go to many calls, once in a while one will affect the officer so deeply that they feel compelled to help, beyond the normal investigation and assistance. Just because there are one or two bad people out there that go and do something as horrible as what this was, there's a whole lot more people out there who are willing to help step up and do the same thing. We were able to get quite a bit of gift cards to be able to help her out for several months. According to Snyder, the donors involved, who were both individuals and businesses, preferred to remain anonymous. Whitener told her she would keep the gifts in a safe place. I'm tingling because I'm happy because they stuck by me like this, she said. Snyder said that the case goes to show the positive things that can happen when a community comes together to look out for each other. It shows how a victim can touch several different people and that the community can come together to work with law enforcement, our businesses, our citizens, and the management here so that the victim is taken care of, he said. And the next article has the headline, Lawmakers Reach Agreement on Stalled VA Accountability Bill. Dateline Washington, congressional Republicans and Democrats have reached agreement on a long-stalled bill to make it easier for Department of Veterans Affairs to fire its employees, part of an accountability effort touted by President Donald Trump. The deal announced Thursday could smooth the way for final passage on an issue that has been in limbo since the 2014 wait time scandal at the Phoenix VA Medical Center. As many as 40 veterans died while waiting months for appointments as VA employees created secret waiting lists to cover up delays. The bipartisan deal on Capitol Hill followed a fresh warning from the VA Inspector General of continuing patient safety problems at another facility, the VA Medical Center in Washington, D.C. After uncovering serious problems there last month, the IG's rapid response team visited the facility again on Wednesday and found at least two new instances in which patients were placed at unnecessary risk. In one case, they found a patient prepped for vascular surgery in an operating room under anesthesia, whose surgery was postponed because the surgeon did not have a particular sterile instrument necessary to perform the surgery. The team also found surgical instruments that had color stains of unknown origin in sterile packs, according to the IG. The VA last month had promised immediate fixes. VA Secretary David Shulkin told senators at the hearing that he had no safety concerns today and that the auditor's visit revealed a process that works, doctors stopping a procedure when they identified a potential risk. He agreed legislation was needed to improve the VA. In the cases we need to make changes in management, today I just don't have that ability to do it, he said. The Senate measure softens portion of a bill that passed the House in March, while Democrats criticized as unfairly harsh on workers. Senators John Tester of Montana and Johnny Isaacson of Georgia, the top Democrat and the Republican chair of the Senate Veterans Affairs Committee, worked to make modifications that would give VA employees added time to appeal disciplinary actions. House Veterans Affairs Committee Chairman Phil Rowe, sponsor of the House bill, said he would support the revisions. To fully reform the VA and provide our nation's veterans with the quality care they are promised and deserve, we must ensure the department can officially dismiss employees who are not able or willing to do their jobs, said Senator Marco Rubio, Republican of Florida, the bill's lead sponsor. This has been the Vermilion County News for Friday, May the 12th. I look forward to reading with you again soon.